有一个故事，不是 story， 就是有一个基督徒呢，向一个王去传福音的时候
，that the Christian was spreading the good news to a king。
那么呢，这个王呢，一直不相信神的存在。
But this king continued to reject the existence of God。
那么这个王有一次就问这个基督徒
，So the king asked this Christian one time，
你能够用一个字？去向我证明神的存在吗？
Can you use one word to prove to me to the as far as the existence of God is concerned?
如果你是这个基督徒，你会怎么回答这个话？
And how would you answer if you were the Christian?
Okay, 爱。Okay.
One answer is love.
有没有其他？
Other answers?
嗯。Forever.人 OK， 那他这个基督徒想一想以后呢，你知道这个是美国基督徒啊，他想一想以后呢，就简直回答了。
And this Christian, this American Christian, after he thought about it, this was his answer.
以色列。
His answer was Israel.
的确呢，以色列在圣经呢，里面告诉我们呢，在以赛亚书43章的第十节里面说，耶和华对以色列说了，你们是我的见证，我所拣选的仆人，自是这样，是可以知道且顺服我，又明白我就是耶和华，在我以前没有真神，在我以后也必没有。
In the Bible, such as verse 10 in the book of Isaiah chapter 43 tells us this about Israel.You are my witness, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me.
以色列的存在是神的存在的一个很有力的一个证据。
The existence of Israel itself is a good proof of the existence of God.
因为呢，没有一个神呢，可以在一个事情还没发生之前呢，就告诉你会怎么会发生。
There is no other God who can tell you ahead of time, before something happens, what actually happens.
但是呢，圣经里面的神呢，耶和华神呢，却可以应许亚伯拉罕，他当时已经是75岁了，他告诉他，将来呢，你要成为一个大国。
The God in the Bible is the only God that is able to tell Abraham when he was 75 years old that your people will constitute a large nation.
不单只是这样子，神也预言了，这他亚伯拉罕的子孙将来要到别的国家400年的时间，再回来就是现在的巴勒斯坦这个地。才成为一个国家。
Not only that, God was able to very specifically foretell that the Israelites were going to have to move to another a foreign nation for 400 years before they can come back to today's the land of Palestine to reside.
这些预言呢，我们都知道了，在旧约圣经里面一一的应验了。
And we are aware of all these prophecies, and each one of them, as we know, had become true.
但是我们从旧约的历史呢，我们也知道了，就是以色列这个国家离弃神以后呢，最后神就把他们从这个应许之地，从他们的国家里面赶他们离开。
But we also learn from the history told to us from the Old Testament.That the Israelites eventually rejected their God, and as a result, God moved them out of their own country.
所以在公元前586年呢，以色列全个国家就亡国。
And that was when, at the time of 586 BC, that the entire nation of Israel had become extinct.
虽然呢，旧约圣经的先知有预言以色列有复国的一天。
Even though many prophets had prophesied that the nation of Israel will be restored one day.
但是呢，到保罗写罗马书的时候呢，已经过了600年了。
However, till the time when Paul wrote the book of Romans, it had been 600 years.
好像呢没有什么终极，他就是没有什么你看得见以色列有复国的希望。
After so many years, there was no, at this time, there was no sign or any trace of the nation of Israel being restored.
反而呢，以色列人呢，对神呢，越来越刚硬。
And at the same time, the people of Israel had become more and more stubborn against God.
接受神的福音的人呢，反而是这些外邦人。
And contrarily, the people that actually receiving the gospel were the Gentiles.
所以当其实很早以前那些已经有人相信了，是不是教会已经代替以色列？
So therefore, even at times just before this juncture, there were people that were starting to believe that perhaps church was about to replace Israel.
其实我们知道现在的神学家里面呢，也有一派他们相信呢，新约的以色列就是我们教会。
Even till today, there are some modern theologians who believe that churches are today's Israel.
教会才是真以色列。
That a church is the true Israel.
所以他们认为呢，旧约还有很多有关以色列的预言呢，只是必须应验呢，只是灵异上面应验在教会身上。
And therefore, the promises that were being fulfilled, the prophecies that were being fulfilled, in the Old Testament was only a fulfillment in a spiritual sense, that's been manifest within the church.
但是保罗呢，当他写罗马书九到十一章的时候呢，他就要解答这个问题。
But that's why Paul wanted to address this question in chapters 9 to 11 in the book of Romans.
特别呢，在十一章罗马书十一章里面呢，保罗问一个问题，就是神弃绝了他的百姓吗？
And that is why at the beginning of chapter 11, Paul wanted to ask this question: Did God reject His people?
他答案就是断乎没有。
And his answer was by no means.
所以呢，首先保罗的证明呢，就是在第一到第六节呢，就是虽然以色列一直的整个国家好像很叛逆的对待神。
So that's the evidence that Paul is bringing forward, was that even though the Israelites had been stubbornly rebellious against God,
但是呢，神每一个时代，他总是会保存一些。圣经叫愚民的的人呢，他就是这些以色列人呢，他是相信神的，是专一敬拜神的。
So in spite of the general rebelling throughout the generations, God had preserved a group of remnants that will continue to be His believers, His followers.
那么呢，十一章七到二十四节呢，讲到以色列人的刚硬呢，只是成为神祝福外邦人的一个方法。
And verses 7 through 24 actually talk about the stubbornness of the Israelites becomes a means through which God can bless the Gentiles.
那么呢，当神祝福外邦人的时候呢，以色列人看见的时候呢，他们也激发他们去追求神。
The blessing of the Gentiles by their God, therefore motivates the Israelites to follow God.
那么呢，今天呢是十一章，也是走到十一章里面呢的高潮。
And today the verses we'll be talking about from chapter 11 is actually the climax of these three chapters.
就是讲到了神最大的证据，他没有放弃以色列这个国家。
So here it talks about the evidence of God's existence. The greatest evidence of God's existence is the fact that He never gave up on the nation of Israel.
所以呢，我们先来从二十五到二十七节，看一看以色列的奥秘。
Let's first look at verses 25 through 27 and study the mystery of Israel.
25节说, 弟兄们, 我不愿意你们不知道这奥秘, 恐怕你们自以为聪明。
Verse 25 says that I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may be conceited.
讲到了这些外邦的弟兄姊妹自以为聪明呢, 其实就是他们以为呢,
the conceitedness that's being referred to here from the Gentile brothers and sisters is based on their understanding or assumption that church has replaced Israel.
他们呢就，你可以说，以为神放弃以色列人呢，所以他们就看不起他们了。And
so therefore, the feeling was that because they felt like God had rejected the Israelite people, and therefore they looked down on them.
所以呢，保罗呢就把以色列的将来也是一个奥秘告诉教会。
So that's why Paul wants to share the future of Israel, which is basically this mystery, with the Gentiles.
在圣经里面的奥秘呢，不是一个谜语的意思。
The word mystery does not mean that it's a puzzle.
我们一般想到奥秘呢，就是一个很神秘的事情呢，或者呢，就是 OK， 只有一些很高超的灵命、很高超的人呢，才知道的事情。
And this mystery here is not our common understanding of something that's kind of secretive, and maybe only a selected group of people can come to the knowledge of this.
如果你看罗马书看到十六章二十五到二十六节的，其实保罗就把这个奥秘的意义，圣经怎么用这个意义，解释出来了。Actually,
if you look at verses 25 and 26 from chapter 16 of the book of Romans, Paul clearly explained what this mystery is all about.
在圣经里面的奥秘呢，是一个事情呢，人本来是不可以知道的。
The biblical mystery is basically something that is not supposed to be revealed to human beings.
所以呢，在16章的25、26节的形容，这里是讲到福音呢，是永古忍藏不言的奥秘。
So the mystery here basically is referring to the gospel in these verses, and it is the mystery hidden for long ages past.
所以呢，从前这个事情呢是隐藏，人是不能通过研究啊，通过你的智慧去找出这个事情的答案的。
So this mystery was hidden in the past. It's not something that can be obtained through research or through a person's knowledge.
但是现在怎么样呢？现在神已经显明了，已经启示告诉我们这个奥秘的内容。But
what's the status of the mystery today? It has been revealed. The content of which has been revealed by God.
所以呢，奥秘在圣经里面呢，其实不再不是一个奥秘了。从前是一个秘密，但是现在已经是一个启示出来的一个事实。So
this mystery is no longer a mystery. It used to be a secret, but now has been a revelation.
所以呢，如果我们回去十一章里面再看以色列人的奥秘的时候呢，保罗呢就在二十五、二十六节讲到这个奥秘的内容了。So
let's return back to chapter 11, and this mystery is once again referred to in verses 25 and 26 by Paul.
这边讲到呢，就是以色列人有几分硬心的，等到外邦人的数目填满了。
It says that Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved.
所以这个奥秘的内容呢，有关以色列人将来的有三部分。So
the content of this particular mystery regarding the future of Israelites has three components to it.
第一部分呢，就是以色列这个国家，有它形容呢，就是。 有几分硬心，其实这是大部分人呢都是拒绝神的。So
the first part is about the future of it's about the nation of the Israel, and here it says that a hardening in part, which basically means that the majority of the people has become hardened.
但是呢，这边保罗告诉我们呢，以色列人的硬心呢，只是一个。 部分的，不是全部的，还有呢，就是暂时的。
But what Paul is saying here is that this hardening with the Israelites is a partial hardening. It's not a complete hardening, and also it's temporary. It's not permanent.
部分的原因呢，我们已经解释了，因为神永远呢，就是在每一个年代里面会保存一些余民在以色列人当中。
And the reason I say partial is because we explained earlier that throughout the generations, in a given particular era, God will preserve a group of remnants.
还有一样事情是暂时的，因为呢，他会有一天会改变的。
And the reason it's temporary because one day God will change it.
这个就是第二部分所讲到了。
And that's what's mentioned in the second part.
第二部分就是讲到了当以色列人悔改之前呢，会发生一件事情。
And what the second part is saying is that before the Israelites repent, something is going to happen.
就是外邦人数目天满。
And this event that's going to take place is the full number of the Gentiles will come in.
如果你把耶稣呢在福音书里面预言他有关他再来的预言放在一起的时候呢
？So if you combine this with the Jesus' own foretelling of his return,
那么在马太福音二十四章十四节里面呢，耶稣就想了，且天国的福音要传遍天下，对万民做见证，然后末期才来到。
This is said in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
所以你知道外邦人的数目天满的时候呢，其实是发生在这个世界的末期里面。
So you know what this means is that when the full number of the Gentile has come in, that will be the end of this world.
那么这个有关以色列的奥秘的第三部分呢，就是最后就是以色列全家得救。
And the third part of this mystery regarding Israel is that the nation of Israel will be saved.
这个就是神的没有放弃以色列这个国家最大的证据，因为有一天神会拯救整个以色列家。
And that is exactly the greatest proof of the existence of God, because one day God will save the nation of Israel.
所以总括来说呢，就是以色列人现在大部分人都是不信福音的。
So in summary, what that means is nowadays at that time, majority of the Israelites do not believe in the gospel.
其实你看见以色列人对福音呢，的心呢是越来越硬的。
And actually, as a matter of fact, the attitude of the Israelites toward the gospels was hardened progressively.
在这个时候呢，就是我们现在的，就是这个福音呢会传遍天下。越来越多外邦的弟兄姐妹会信耶稣了。
At the same time, the gospel will be preached to all nations, and more brothers and sisters will believe in it.
但是呢，当所有的外邦的弟兄姐妹他们都信耶稣以后呢，神的拯救的计划又回到以色列这个国家。
So, however, when all the brothers and sisters of the Gentiles have come to believe in God, then God will return his focus back on Israel.
这个就是十一章里面呢，保罗讲到了这个以色列好像这个被啃下来的一个枝子，重新的再放回去这个橄榄树上面。
And that's why God in chapter 11 talks about Israel is like a branch that got cut off, but then eventually become engrafted back onto the olive tree.
所以以色列人最后会因为他们归向神信耶稣呢，全家都会得救。
And because the Israelites will eventually come to believe in Jesus, that all the nation will be saved once again.
保罗呢在下面告诉我们，就是二十七、二十八节里面告诉我们，二十六、二十七节告诉我们。此次这个事情呢，早在旧约圣经，就是以赛亚书五十九章里面呢，已经预言了。
And actually, all this has already been foretold in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, And that's recorded today in verses 26 and 27.
26节讲到必有一位咒诅从石安出来要除消除雅各家一切的罪恶又说我要除去他们罪的时候解就是我与他们所立的约。And
verse 26 says that the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
今天呢讲到这里的时候呢，我想很快的告诉大家有关，在特别在圣经里面有关以色列的几个很重要的预言。So
since at this point, I want to spend the time to share with everyone some of the most important prophecies in the Bible.
第一个预言呢，就是在特别在以斯帖。书三十七章里面呢，就已经预言了以色列有一天会复国。
And actually, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 27, it talks about that the nation of Israel will be restored one day.
在三十七章里面呢，以斯帖见到前面呢有很多的骸骨在他的面前。
And in the chapter of 37.An Israelite was seeing a lot of dry bones in front of him.
那么最后这些骨头呢，就成为一个很强大的一个军队。
However, these dry bones eventually were regenerated to become a very powerful army.
那么以斯帖就问神，这个是什么意思？神就告诉他，这些骨头其实就是以色列。
So Ezekiel.Asked God what this vision meant, and God explained to him that these dry bones was Israel.
我们知道了以色列王国到已经超过两千年了。
So we know that the nation of Israel had become extinct for 2,000 years already.
所以呢，一直以来呢，好像没有什么指望以色列有复国的机会。
It just seems like it's hopeless that the nation of Israel will ever be restored.
一直到1920年的时候呢，英国就占领现在的巴勒斯坦这个地方，这个地方就成为他的殖民地。
Until the year of 1920, that the British occupied the land of Palestine.And made it into one of his colonies.
我们都知道了，在第二次世界大战的时候，三分之一的犹太人呢给德国屠杀了。
And we know that during World War II, about a third of all Jews were exterminated by Germany.
但是你知道这件事情令到联合国呢就很同情以色列。
But you know what this led to?Was a great deal of sympathy toward the Israelites.
所以最后，联合国就在1948年5月14号就让以色列复国。
And therefore, on the 14th of May, 1948, United Nations reformed the nation of Israel.
你知道当时呢，以色列旁边七个回教国家呢都反对这个事情。
I'm sure you all know that at that time, the seven Muslim neighboring countries next to the land where Israel eventually ends up being were all against this proposal.
所以呢，虽然联合国是通过这个事情，
so even though this resolution was passed at the United Nations,
但是他们就在等呢，就是你复国的这一天呢，我就要把你赶出去。
But the neighboring countries were in waiting.And they were waiting for the day when the nation is first formed, and they're going to drive them out.
所以呢，以色列复国的时候，就是英国把他的军队撤离开巴勒斯坦的这一天。
So when the nation of Israel was first formed, 1948, the British troops were withdrawn.
那么呢，第二天呢，这七个国家就从不同的方向就攻打以色列。
And the seven nations.In the very second day, came to attack the nation of Israel from all directions.
经过九个月以后呢，以色列没有失去任何联合国给他的地。
After this battle lasted 9 months, Israel did not lose any square footage of the land that was given to them by the United Nations.
反而就在中东, 就是巴勒斯坦这个地方, 就站稳成为一个国家。
And as a result, they were able to stand firm on this land of Palestine and establish themselves as a nation.
自从1948年他们复国这一天到现在, 以色列其实打过很多场很多仗啊，跟他旁边的国家。
And from that day on, the nation of Israel actually had gone through many battles with its neighboring countries.
但是呢，有一场战争呢，我们叫六日战争，在1967年的时候呢，是最危险的一场战争。
The most critical one, perhaps, was the Six-Day War that took place in
1967.
And at that time, the nations of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria were gathered together to want to attack Israel.
当时他们就在讲了，我们要把以色列退到这个地中海里面了，所以把他赶走。
They claim that they're going to drive the nation of Israel into the Mediterranean Sea, meaning that they're going to kick them out.
当时呢，以色列其实是一个很小的国家，它其实你知道以色列有多大，就是大概半个台湾这么大。
And at that time, the nation Israel is quite small. Do you know how big Israel is? It's about the half the size of Taiwan.
如果呢，你做一个统计呢，你会发觉呢，以色列的军力比其他旁边的国家加起来呢，是不到人家就是它的2倍到3倍的一个军力。
So if you run your statistics, you know that the military might of the Israelite nation is probably half or maybe a third of its neighboring country combined.
所以呢，当时以色列是很危险的一个情形。
So this was a dangerous and critical time for Israel.
但是1967年的6月5号早晨7点45分。
But it was the morning of the 5th of June 1967 at 7:45 a.m.
主动的攻击埃及的空军呢？
The Israel initiated an attack against the Egyptian Air Force.
他们知道唯一可以打胜这场仗的，就是把埃及所有的空军毁灭。
They know the only path to victory in this war is to destroy Egyptian Air Force.
其实是没有可能的。
It's actually impossible.
但是他选了一个很好的时间。
But they picked a very good time.
7点45分就是他们吃早饭, 两个军队召唤时间的时间。
The reason is a good time is 7:45 because that's the time when the military personnel are enjoying their breakfast and it's the time when they change shifts.
所以呢，他们在他们的空军只有200多的飞机呢，就能够把埃及50个跑就是 airstrip 都毁灭了。
So even though Israel only had 200 some aircrafts, but they were able to destroy all 50 some runways that belonged to the Egyptian.
所以呢，这 埃及的飞机都还没有机会飞到天上呢， 85%呢， 85%的飞机呢已经毁灭了。
So before the Egyptian Air Force had a chance to be airborne, 85% of their crafts were destroyed.
所以那么剩下来呢，就是埃及跟约旦很强大的坦克车。
And the next target is the strong tank troops that belong to Jordan and Egypt.
你知道呢，他们打仗的地方就是现在的西奈半岛啊。You
realize that the battlefield was today's Sinai Peninsula.
这个呢是一个沙漠。This
is a desert environment.
因为它是一个沙漠的原因呢，所以呢，它只有某一些路你可以走。
Because it's a desert, so there are only certain passages through it.
然后以色列研究出来哦。
And the Israelites studied this.
所以他就知道所有埃及啊、约旦呢，他们的坦克车会走什么路。
So they know exactly which routes that the Egyptian and the Jordanian tanks would have to go through.
所以呢，他们就在这边等着这些埃及啊跟约旦的坦克车。So
they sat at certain spots and waited.
加上他们的空军呢，所以呢，就在很短一天的时间，1000个坦克车就毁灭了。And
also they had the support of their own air force, and within one day they destroyed 1,000 tanks.
所以呢，不到四天，解决了两个国家。So
within 4 days they were able to disarm two nations.
最后就剩下叙利亚。
So the only one left at that time was Syria.
你要叙利亚这个国家呢，就是在我们叫Golan Heights这个地方。The
nation of Syria is located at a place called Golan Heights.
这个地方呢是一个山地，是坦克车去不到的。This
place is more mountainous, and it's cannot be reached through tanks.
那么呢，他们的叙利亚的军队呢，就是躲在这些 bunker， 我们叫地堡的地方。And
the Syrian armies were hiding themselves in bunkers.
那么呢，你很远，根本上不知道他们在山的哪里。And
from a distance far away, it's hard to tell exactly where they're located.
但是以色列军队呢，只用2天就解决这个叙利亚。But
the Israelite armies spent 2 days to take care of this one.
你知道他为什么这么厉害，可以把他们打下来呢？
Do you know why they can be so efficient in destroying their enemies?
因为呢，以色列有一个间谍在叙利亚。
Because the Israelites had a spy in Syria.
他就跟叙利亚的将军呢，作为好朋友。
He befriended the Syrian generals.
他就告诉这个将军，你要很好的对你的军人呢。
He convinced the generals that they must treat the soldiers well.
他们在这个地堡里面去打仗，很热的，很就是你要种很多树盖住他们，那么让他们舒服一点呢。And
he told the generals that to be hiding in bunkers all day long is very hot, and therefore you have to plant a lot of trees to provide shade for these soldiers.
所以以色列人呢，见到树就开炮了，所以就把他们完全打下来。
So the Israelites were firing at all the clusters of trees.
在六月战争里面呢，是一个不可能打赢的一场仗。
And the Six Year War was impossible to win.
但是神保守以色列人，因为他的应许不能改变。
But God protected Israelites because His promise cannot be changed.
其中一个很重要的这场战争的很重要的结果，就是以色列人从之前呢，耶路撒冷不属于以色列的，但是打完这场仗以后呢，耶路撒冷就重回以色列的国家里面。A
very important outcome of this war was that the city of Jerusalem came back to the nation of Israel.
这个预言，有关以色列复国的预言呢，已经发生了。
And this prophecy had already taken place prior to all these different events.
但是还有两个很重要的预言呢，是有关以色列的将来会发生。And
there are two other also very important prophecies regarding Israel that will take place in the future.
第二个很重要有关以色列的预言呢，就是我们讲到了。
And the second prophecy regarding Israel is what we sometimes call the 7 years of tribulation.
这个是记载在但以理书的第9章。
And this is recorded in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel.
我们叫这个预言呢，是70个期的预言。
And this prophecy is the 77s or the 70 weeks.
原因呢，就是神把我们人类的历史放在一个时间表里面呢，就是70个好像70个礼拜一样。
And the reason we call it that is because God has put the entire history of mankind in a chronological order, and it's all reflected within 7 weeks of 70 weeks of time frame.
那么最主要的有关以色列的，就是发生在最后一个礼拜里面，第七十个礼拜的七十个礼拜。
The most critical events are happening in the last of the 70 weeks or the 70th week.
这个就是九章二十七节里面呢，但以理讲到呢，他必与许多人坚定盟约。
And this is said in verse 27, that he'll confirm a covenant with many.
这个他是讲到敌基督。
The he here is actually referring to the Antichrist.
所以呢，他圣经是告诉我们呢，有一天以色列人会跟敌基督，就是我们知道是从欧洲来的，他会签订一个合约，去保证他们的和跟其他国家的和平。
And so the Bible tells us that the nation of Israel one day will sign an agreement with the Antichrist, who is from Europe himself, to preserve the peace for Israel.
但是问题呢，就是过了三年半以后呢，这个敌基督呢就违约了，所以呢，以色列会进入一个从来没有遇过这么艰难的一个逼迫。
But the problem is that after 3.5 years.The Antichrist was spurned this agreement that he had already signed, and as a result of that, the nation of Israel will go through a tribulation like they had never seen before.
这个就是为什么呢？圣经呢，耶利米的形容大灾难呢是 Jacob's trouble， 就是雅各遭难的日子。
And that's why the book of Zechariah
Jeremiah
describes that the tribulation is the trouble for the Jacob.
最后一个有关很重要有关以色列的预言呢。
And the last critical important prophecy related to the Israel.
就是列国围攻以色列。
And that is that all nations against Israel.
你一定听过呢，这个哈米吉多顿大战这个字。
And I'm sure you've heard this word Armageddon.
这个呢，其实在圣经里面有关这场打仗呢，最生动的预言呢，其实在撒迦利亚书十四章里面。
And the biblical description of this war, the most vivid portion of it.Was probably captured in the book of Zechariah.
在十四章第二节呢，讲到了神必追责万国与耶路撒冷征战。
And in verse in chapter 14, it talks about that that all nations will be fighting against Israel.
当时以色列死很多人了。
And the nation of Israel will lose many people.
我相信呢，就是在他们在给人打的时候呢，他后就在这个时候呢，他就明白醒悟过来，向神悔改。
I believe it's at this time that Israelites awake and then realize that they have forsaken God.
所以在撒迦利亚书十二章第十节呢，形容他们仰望神，就是他们所载的，就是他就是讲到他们将来会仰望主耶稣了。
And that's why in chapter 12 talks about that one day the Israelites actually would put their hope on the Lord Jesus.
这个也是就是我们刚刚看罗马书讲到了以色列人全家得救。的原因，因为他们全家都会仰望耶稣。
And that's why we say earlier that the whole nation of Israel will come to believe in Jesus because the whole nation at that time starts to put their hope on Jesus.
我最喜欢撒迦利亚书第十四章里面呢讲到，当时以色列人呢就是好像走投无路的时候呢，神会为他们开一条路。
The thing I enjoy the most about these verses in chapter 14 is that these people, they seem to be entirely hopeless, and yet God would come forward and open a road for them.
所以他们在耶路撒冷里面走啊，走到了迦南山的时候没有路走了，那么神就回来把迦南山呢分开两边，让他们从中间里面走过。
So as they were walking hopelessly, aimlessly, then that's when God came and then split the Mount Olives into two from north to south, so that create a passage for them to walk through.
那么最后他就讲到，耶和华我的神其实就是耶稣，必降临，有一切的圣子同来，这个就是第五节讲到了，耶稣回来去救以色列这个国家。
And that's why at the end of verse 5 it says that the Lord my God will come and all holy ones with him. And the Lord my God at this time, they were referring to Lord Jesus, will come back and save them.
神指着以色列说你是我的见证。
And that's why God pointed to Israel saying that you are my witnesses.
从神怎么对待以色列上面，我们看见神几个很重要的属性。
From the way that God has taken care of Israel, we're able to see a few of his attributes.
首先呢，就是神是一个信实的神。
We can see that God is a faithful God.
罗马书11章28到29节呢，讲到了以色列人对福音来说呢，是神的一个敌人呢。
And actually, verse 28 and 29 tells us that as far as the gospel is concerned, the Israelites are enemies.
不单指他们不相信，他还要逼迫这些全福音的基督徒。
Not only they don't believe themselves, but they persecute the Christians who proclaim this word.
但是这个不是神唯一的对以色列的一个评语。But
this is not the only evaluation or opinion on God's part regarding the Israelites.
28节还讲呢，照着拣选说他们为列祖的缘故是蒙爱的。
But the verse 28 also tells us that as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs.
因为神的恩赐和选召是没有后悔的。
And 29 says that for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable.
所以我们看见呢，神的应许是确定的。
So we know that God's promises are affirmed.
如果神能够 从没有可能的里面去使以色列人复国。
So if God can somehow out of impossible situations to restore the nation of Israel,
他能够保护这个国家直到他回来。
He can protect this nation until he returns.
同样神可以保守每一句对我们的应许的应验。
And God at the same time can keep his every one of his promises made to us.
神自己在民数记23章19节说，神非人必不至说谎，也非人子必不至后悔。他说话岂不叫做行呢？他发言岂不要成就呢？
In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19, God himself says that God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak, then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?
第二个有关神的属性呢，就是他是一个仁慈的一个神。
And the second attribute about God is that God is merciful.
在罗马书11章30到32节讲到呢，人的不顺服。
In the chapter 11, verses 30 through 32 talks about people's disobedience.
不顺服应该带来审判跟咒诅。
Disobedience should have brought out judgment and wrath.
但是神却用人的不顺服成为他一个怜悯人的一个机会。
But God instead used man's disobedience as an opportunity to show his mercy for people.
所以如果神是这样子对待以色列人的时候，我们就知道，他也会同样的对待我们了。
So if God has treated Israelites this way, we know that He will take care of us the same way.
没有一个罪是太大，神不能够赦免的。
There is not a sin that's so big that God Himself cannot forgive.
很多时候，神让我们走到这个罪的里面的时候，是通过我们犯罪的时候，要我们醒过来，知道我们的罪误会。
And the reason God allows us to be sinful is so through the acts of sinning that we can wake up and understand our ugliness.
当我们明白的时候，我们就会去寻找神。
And when we come to that realization, then we'll be seeking out God.
最后一个就是保罗讲到的，神是智慧的。
And the last attribute is, as Paul pointed out, is God's wisdom.
33到36节呢，是保罗见到神的计划的伟大以后呢，他忍不住就赞美神了。
And verses 33 through 36 tells us that after understanding God's great plan, Paul had no choice but to praise God.
33节说，身在神丰富的智慧和知识。
And verse 33 says that the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge.
很多人以为呢，神呢好像控制不住这个世界。
A lot of people think that God cannot actually control this world.
就是好像呢，是神不小心才让这个魔鬼进去引诱人类。
They sometimes think that it's because of God's carelessness that the devil had a chance to tempt people.
但是如果你了解圣经的时候，你会知道，其实所有发生的事情都是在神的掌管底下。
But if you read through the Bible, you understand that every single thing is under God's control.
不单只是这样子，三十六节更告诉我们，万有都是本于他，倚靠他，归于他。
Not only this, verse 36 tells us that all things are from Him, through Him, and to Him.
这个意思就是神是所有事情的来源。
And what this means is God's the origin of all things.
也是神维系这个万物的存在。Maintain, sustain.
And that's the basis for God's sustaining all things.
最后就是万有的存在跟它发生的事情都是为了神的。
And also that the existence of all creations is because of God.
为了彰显他的荣耀。
It's in order to glorify Him.
通过这个人类的历史里面，我们就看见神的伟大，看见他的爱，他的公义，跟他的能力。
So throughout the histories, we can see God's almightiness. We can see His love. We can see His abilities or His power. Powerful deeds.
所以我希望今天我们看见神怎么对待以色列的时候，我们也是同样的相信神会同样的以他的信息、他的仁慈、智慧去对待我们。
And the way that God had taken care of the Israelites has manifest that His faithfulness, His mercifulness, and His greatness, the same attributes that He'll use to take care of us.
我们最后一次祷告。
And let's pray together.
亲爱的天父，我们谢谢你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you.
的确，我们就是好像保罗一样，见到神你的计划的伟大的时候，我们不能不赞叹，把荣耀归给你。
And just like Paul, when we come to understand your great plan, we have no choice but to come and worship you and to praise you.
让我们明白，我们不是世界的中心，神你才是世界的中心。
We understand that we are not the center of the world, but instead you are.
愿意我们过的生活就是一个归荣耀给你的一个生活。
And we pray that we live a life that will give glories to you forever.
听我们祷告，奉耶稣基督名求。
And thank you for listening to our prayer and praying in Jesus' name.
Amen.